I think about the passion. You know, when we hear that word passion, sometimes we think of different things. But in the Scripture, what God wants to see is passion. God is a passionate God. Passion is what energizes life. And passion makes the impossible possible. Amen? Amen. Without passion, life can really become boring. And, you know, God created us with the emotions to have passion in our life, and He wants us to live a passionate life. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible says, one of the scribes came and asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all, the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And this is the first command. And nothing matters more than that, does it? And God doesn't want you to love Him half-heartedly. He wants you to love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow Me, you have to follow Me with passion. And the Bible tells us that we are to seek God. We're to seek Him passionately. And the Bible says that we are to serve and obey God passionately too. We are to trust God passionately. In Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, and whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as to the Lord and not to men. And do everything passionately. And when it comes to loving God and serving God and living for God. I've talked to different people and one young lady, and I've said this before, but I've never forgot it. And I asked her, I said, what do you think the biggest indifference is with the church today? She said, well, when I was a little kid, I used to go to church with my grandmother, and church meant everything to her. She had such a passion for church. Nothing was going to keep her away from it. She prayed, and she read her Bible. She would come in, she would see these things, and church and God meant everything to her. She said, but my parents aren't that way. She said, and I don't see people like that now. And church is not desired like it was because people don't see passion. I can be passionate about movies. Have you noticed in our modern era, it's become okay to be passionate about everything else except God? That's what I meant. We're compassionate about movies. We're passionate about sports. Man, we get all excited about sports, don't we? 80,000 people go see a college ball game. 80,000 people. I don't know that there's one church out there right now that has one service with 80,000 people in it ever. Man, it saddens me. I can be passionate about fashion and clothes. Well, maybe not me so much. You know, I'm happy to get a discount. You know, I look at the clearance rack. Sometimes I get good deals on the clearance rack, right? Amen. Goodwill is not a bad place. It's good for a reason. I can be passionate about restaurants and the food that I eat. Now that, you know, good thick steak at Texas Roadhouse sometimes is pretty good, isn't it? Boy, we get all excited when we see the waiter coming or the waitress. And you're like, get her down here. I'm ready. You guys are laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. Huh? But the people of this generation find it weird to be passionate about God. I talked about that a couple weeks ago, about being a Jesus freak, and that song that came out years ago about what would people think if I tell them I'm a Jesus freak. I sent that, Lottie made a comment about it, and I sent that video or that song to Lottie, and she's like, I really like this, you know. It is a little heavy. Yeah. It's talking about, you know, one of the lines in the song, Trey mentioned it, you know, it's about a guy with a big fat belly that has a tattoo that says Jesus saves on his belly. But he's standing, he's preaching the gospel. Jesus saved, you know, saves anybody. You know, this is what it's talking about. It saved even somebody like him, changed his life. He once was this, but now he's something different. Now he's a Jesus freak. I think the Lord calls us to be passionate. Let's not fall into the ways of this modern generation. Let's be passionate in the Lord and be passionate in His Scripture. And the Lord calls us to be passionate while we serve Him and love Him. And let God be your priority and passion in your life at all times. Not just some of the time. Not just when we're at church. Not just when we're talking to church people. But be passionate about God everywhere we go. And to everyone that we meet. Let God be your priority. I want to look at some things that are passion killers. Obstacles that can keep you from, you and I, from having the constant passion for the Lord. Many people lose their passion because of an unbalanced schedule. And that means either you are overworked or you're underworked. You're going to lose your passion for life and lose your passion for God. And life is a series of seasons. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a season for everything. And we need to be both in our life, both input and output is what we need in our life. And we need both rest and work. And too much of either will cause us to lose our passion. Too much work will cause us to lose our passion. Psalms 127:2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest. Hear me this morning. God wants us to get our proper rest. And if we never take time to recharge, and if we have an unbalanced ministry or an unbalanced career, work, you're going to eventually experience compassion fatigue. We all get there. You know, what is compassion fatigue? What am I talking about? Well, you begin to stop caring about things. You don't care about God anymore. You don't care about other people anymore. And you don't care about anything anymore. Why? Because you're burnt out. You're tired of everything. Too much is on your plate. You get overwhelmed. And that when you get that way, you seem to lose your compassion for a lot of things, or your passion for a lot of things. And it seems we lose our passion to go to church. We lose our passion to read. We just don't want to be bothered by anything. Because we're exhausted. James 4, verse 17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is a sin. And do you realize that the more you know about God's plan in your life, the more responsible you are to God for that knowledge? Maybe that's why some people don't read as much as they should, because they don't want to take on that responsibility. I don't know. I'm just asking. And if we don't do anything with the knowledge of God, we're simply disobedient. And being disobedient is sinful. It is sin. But very few of us take a true Sabbath day of rest as God instructed. Very few. You know, I work every Sabbath day, don't I? Really? I work Sundays are pretty busy for me most of the time. I mean, like last Sunday, and I loved it. Man, my last Sunday was awesome. But I got up early. I study before I come to church and pray, and then I get here about 8 o'clock. And then after church was over, I went home, grabbed a hamburger, came back to church because we had recitals all day. I was here all day. And then I left here at 4 o'clock as soon as recital was over, went to Carbondale and visited Bumper Gurley in the hospital. And then I was talking with him, and I looked at my watch, and I'm like, oh, it's 5:30, church starts at 6, I got to go. And so I beat it back down here for church on Sunday night. That's not, you know, that's not an every Sunday thing for me, but, you know, our lives can be that way, can't it? And I can't do that all the time. Because I start to get drained, I start to get run down, and then I start to lose a little bit of my passion for studies. You know, that's usually the first thing that goes, because you're too tired to read, you're too tired to study, and you're like, all I want to do is be left alone, I need to, you know, I need to rest. I'll get back on, you know, I get off in the bushes sometimes. But God holds us accountable for what we know, and so the Bible says that we need both in our life, input and output. And if we don't do anything with that knowledge of God, we're being disobedient. So remember that. We need to work and we need to rest, but we need balance in our schedule. And so the antidote, I read in 1 Timothy 4:7, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. That's what he says. We all know to be physically fit, we have to have a balanced diet. We have to eat right. And to be spiritually fit, you have to have a balance of God's purposes for our life and in your life. One of those is you need to have time to worship God, both private and public. You need to have time to fellowship with other believers. You need to have time to read God's Word and grow as a Christian. You need to have time for ministry and service. And you need to have time to share your faith with others. Those are important things. And it's not just me. It's all of us who are believers in Christ. If you have an unbalanced schedule, you just need to say to God, God, help me, and to begin to be more passionate, to have more passion. Help me to be more passionate. Help me quit being so busy. Sometimes that's for God too. You know, I've experienced ministry burnout before. Man, you just get so overwhelmed. You're just going nonstop, running back and forth to Carbondale when Lee and I was doing that. Let me tell you, that was overwhelming. Three times a week, four times a week sometimes, running back and forth, running back and forth. It was a difficult time. And it got to where I just didn't want to go. It was too much of an effort. And I promised God, I don't want to ever get that way again. You can become complacent that way. I'm being honest with you this morning. Many people lose their passion because of an unconfessed sin too. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You know, I understand we don't walk around thinking I have sin in my life. Most of the time we rationalize it consciously and we deny it, you know. But subconsciously, guilty. It's in there. And it will subconsciously pop into your mind all the time. And I think that's another reason why a lot of people don't like to come to church, because it reminds them of some of the things that they're doing in their life that God says, I don't want you to do. Maybe right now as I'm talking, maybe there's something that's popping into someone's mind today. But here's the truth about it as human beings. We cannot feel enthusiasm and guilt at the same time. It just doesn't work. You can't feel guilt and passion at the same time, because guilt robs you of your passion. Psalms 38, 4 and 6 says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and I am brought low." So God sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross to say this: "I want to offer you a gift. The gift of freedom from guilt." And that's God's gift to us all. So maybe some of you right now are in the midst of a personal systems crash. The joy in your life is crashed, but you are trying to keep the enthusiasm up. Maybe you're trying to keep the passion alive, but the guilt keeps crashing your system. Fortunately, this is a problem that can be redeemed quickly. Remedied, I'll put it that way. Because Jesus has already done all that is needed to be done to deal with our guilt. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. That's why I came to this earth. And in 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Yes. Amen?
Amen?
And sometimes we carry around guilt around for sometimes days, weeks, and sometimes it's years we carry it around. But we should not carry that guilt around. All we have to do is just take a minute and realize our sin and do something about it. And we don't have to carry it. And I can say right now, in your mind, all you have to do is say, "Lord God, forgive me." And it's done. Come on now.
Amen.
He will relieve you of your sins and your guilt. And I want to thank Him for forgiving mine. Amen. I thank Him every day. Many people lose their passion because of an unsupported lifestyle too. Sometimes we lose passion for God because we're not spending time around other people who have that passion for God. You're not spending time around other Christians and you're not getting any fellowship. Man, fellowship is important. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Man, that is like the most important scripture right there, if I could tell you, leave it with you today. We need each other. You know, Jesus said, "I didn't come here to condemn the world. I came here to save it," right? And we as a church, we as a body of Christ are not here to condemn each other. Hear me. We're here to lift each other up. People fall, we know that. We have young spiritual Christians that are toddlers. They bump their heads, they skin their knees just like our kids did. And as they grow and they get matured, those that are mature, what do? They take care of the young ones, right? We're here to help and love on each other. Amen? We need each other. We all fall sometimes. We all do stupid stuff sometimes. And we all stumble at times. So we need people to help us in our lives during those times. And there might be times when we start to feel far from God and we start to feel like God is far from us, and a strong fellowship of passionate Christians can help us rekindle that flame. Man, I love to hear great testimonies. And I've repetitively said this, but some of the ones who were my mentors in the past, and all they did was they had passion for God so much that they weren't afraid to testify. Sister McCord was one of them. Bonnie Sweet. I can keep speaking names of childhood. My aunt, Ida Mae. My aunt Ida Mae was one. I mean, this lady was I thought, is as saintly as they get. But she always was positive. She was always loving. She was always on fire for God, even when she was on her deathbed. And I remember months before she passed away, I went to see her She couldn't hardly get out of her bed, and she said, "Oh, honey, I had a dream." She said, "I dreamed that there were angels watching over me." I went there to encourage her, but I left with goosebumps. Because she encouraged me. I left there, you know, I'm like, wow, I want that. And when people are attracted, you know that? People are attracted to people with passion. When they see Christians believing in an all-powerful God, an almighty God who is capable of anything, and we really believe that, people notice that. We all need strong fellowship around other people to have this passion of God. And when you have no inspiring contact with other believers, your heart grows cold, doesn't it? Just, why go? What's the purpose, right? I can go to a ball game. I can get excited there. Man, everybody's cheering and hollering and man, they seem like they're actually happy to be there. But when I go to church, it's like, who died? You guys are not that way. You guys came, I mean, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait to get here this morning, right? You're so excited about God. I'm going to get to see my friends, my family in Christ. Man, I love those people. I just wish I could find them. No, I'm joking. But, you know, I'm just trying to make a point here, a valid point, because that's so important that we have that passion going in our life. It's one of our greatest testimonies. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of others of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." Man, so much more. Your passion for God can fade in your life, and if there's any, you know, and it comes when there's no support. We need each other. If you don't have a supported lifestyle, you're not going to continue the passion. You don't have to live a godly life alone, is what I'm saying. Pray to the Lord. God, bring me some passionate people into my life. Help me go. Help me keep going. You know, it makes a person feel good when somebody calls you and says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you and I love you." Now, how many would say, "Well, that made me feel bad"? No. Makes you feel better. Makes your day better, doesn't it? Let my passion for you grow through the people and you bring for me. That's what I want. Many people lose their passion because of an unclear purpose. When you forget the purpose of your life, it creates a sure way to kill your passion for your life of in God. You don't know the purpose for your life, and you struggle with that, don't you? You struggle in life when you don't know your purpose. And so many people today have so many struggles because they just don't have a purpose. Amen. But yet they do. God created us all with a purpose.
Amen.
I know people that don't even want to get up in the morning. Not because they're tired, it's just because they don't have a purpose in life. They don't want to put any effort. They don't even... Life without a purpose is activity without direction. It is motion without meaning, and life without purpose is trivial and pointless most of the time. Isaiah 49:4 says, "Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. Passion and purpose go together, don't they? And when you have a clear purpose, it gives you passion, but it needs to be God's purpose for your life. And if you're only living for yourself, that's a pretty small purpose. It's temporal. That's not going to make it, it's not going to make you very passionate, I'll tell you that. You need a cause greater than yourself, and that gives your life significance and meaning. And the more you understand God's purpose for your life, and the more you live it out, the more passionate you're going to be. Nothing matters more than knowing and living for the purpose that God put you on this earth for. It took me a long time to realize that. I've done a lot of things. I've done a lot of ministry. But it wasn't until I went through a kidney issue that I believe God put me flat on my back to make me realize that's not what I wanted you to do. This is what I wanted you to do. Now get up and go do it. And I promised, I made a promise to God. I said, Lord, I'll preach the gospel the rest of my life. And that's what I'm doing. Whether it's here, no matter where it's at, I'm going to preach the gospel for the rest of my life. That's my purpose. Nothing matters more than knowing that. I'm clear in my heart and I'm clear in my mind. I know what God wants me to do. There's a lot of things I like to do. Pretty sunny day like this. Water's getting a little bit warmer. It's just almost to the right temperature where crappie are biting so good. Man, I could be sitting in a boat right on a crappie bed. I got to get back on track. But nothing else can compensate. What I'm trying to say. That's fun and all, but it doesn't take the place of spending time with God and God's people. Nothing brings me more joy than to be in church and to be with my body, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing compares to that. That's why I say an unclear purpose will kill your passion. Yeah. So I'd ask you this morning, have you been living for yourself or have you been living for nothing? God wants to remind us today of our purpose for our lives. And finally, many people lose their passion because they have an undernourished spirit. Exodus 34:14 says, you must worship only the Lord, for He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you. You hear that? Did you know that God is passionate about you? The more you understand how God is passionate about you, the more passionate you're going to be about God. Amen?
Amen.
And when you forget how much God loves you, you start distancing yourself from God. How do we know that God is passionate about us? The proof is on the cross. Hear me. Jesus stretched out His hands and they nailed Him to a cross, and God was in essence saying, I'd rather die than live without you. Hear me. That's how passionate I am about you and my creation. I made you. I love you, and I'd rather die than live without you. Amen. The suffering of Jesus on the cross was His passion. Yes. Hear me. Jesus never wanted us to forget what He did on the cross. And that's why He gave us a symbol that we do called communion. God is telling us, when you take communion, I want you to remember my passion. I want you to remember how passionate I am about you. So passionate that I die for you. Acts 1:3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days in speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I read a story about a young salesman. He was disappointed about losing a customer. And as he talked with his sales manager, he complained, well, I guess it proves you can't lead a horse to water, but or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And the manager replied, son, your job's not to make them drink. Your job's to make them thirsty. I love that story. And this is the same for evangelism. Our lives should be filled with so much passion for Christ that we create a thirst in others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 107:43, whoever is wise will remember these things and will think about the deep love of the Lord. 1 John 4:9 says, God showed us how much He loved us by sending His Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. And this is real love. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And a dying passion can also be caused by an undernourished spirit. Focus your heart on the strength that only God can give this morning. Draw up nourishment from Him and rekindle your passion with the Lord. Draw up nourishment from Him. C.S. Lewis said this. He said it like this. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Man, that's a good one to remember, isn't it?
Amen.
Moderately important. If Jesus is God and He died and He loves you that much, you owe Him the rest of your life and every spare minute and every breath you take. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord calls you and I to be passionate in our love and our servanthood. Be careful of the passion killers within your life this morning. Have a balanced schedule in your life and give time to the Lord to prayer and to worship Him in private as well. Give time to do His servanthood and spread the glory of the Lord to others. Man, God saved my life, and that's something to be passionate about, isn't it? Don't hold on to sin and guilt in your life. Let them go. Give them to Christ. He is just and willing to forgive. Hold them up to the Lord, for He has already paid that price. Surround yourself with fellowship of passionate believers so your faith will not grow cold. For when you stumble or grow weak, I got your back. And I hope you have mine. Amen?
Amen.
Nourish your spirit with the Word of God. Read and study and pray. Thirst for the Word of God, for He is the living water. Let your passion for the Lord also lead others to thirst for the Lord as well. And again, I remind you of this modern generation. Everyone has something that they're passionate about. And my plea to you this morning is do not let your passion of this world overshadow your passion for the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for what You've done for me. But You didn't only do that for me. You done it for everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. And Lord, I pray that if anyone that's here this morning that has not received you, that they do so today. Forgive us, O Lord, of our trespasses, for we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.